1. That's where we left off last week, Exodus 21. Here God is giving his laws to his people, the nation of Israel. So we're looking at the righteous decrees and the holy statutes of God Almighty as we make our way through this section of the book of Exodus. And tonight we'll start where we left off. We'll read verse number 20, Exodus chapter 21, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely punished." So God is interested in judgment and justice and righteousness. And a man who kills another man is not excused from that crime just because society might have placed a lesser value on the life of the man that he killed than it would on some other man. You will face the same punishment under God's laws if you kill a poor man as you would if you killed a rich man. If you kill a low-ranking member of society, as if you kill a high-ranking member of society. Remember, this is the same God that would come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and die for all men. For all men. He didn't lay down his life for the rich and the noble and the mighty and the important people. He laid down his life for all men. Everyone is of value to our great God. Verse 21, notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, okay, you smite your servant, he didn't die. If he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. So the Lord, he's pointing something out here. I mean, look, if you harm those under your employ, you're just harming yourself. What a foolish thing to do. He's trying to show you that. Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with fetus, if men strive and hurt a woman with tissue mass, let's read it again. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, that is, they weren't trying to injure the woman, they weren't sexually assaulting the woman, they just struck the woman while they were fighting between themselves, and she got injured. And it caused her to miscarry the child. If that happens, he shall surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, so on the other hand, if you did try to hurt the woman or her child, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Okay, so this opens the door for two necessary discussions and conversations here. Number one, according to God, speaking on the Holy Mount, recorded in the Holy Bible, hope you're listening, according to God, inside that woman's womb is a child. A child. If that woman gives birth, and 1 hour later she's holding in her arms a child. 2 days later she's nursing a child. 2 years later she's raising a child. Everybody understands, once that birth occurs, that mother has a child. But sadly, in our generation of animals, sadly in our generation of evolutionists, we have lost this truth. And it is truth. It's God's truth from God's Word. that inside the womb is a child, just as outside the womb is a child. And if you take the life of that child inside the womb, you are subject to punishment as a result. That sure would solve a lot of arguments today, wouldn't it, if people would believe God's word? Then, the next thing we need to talk about, Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. This is what he was talking about. But it goes further than that. See what it says? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, as we saw last week, the idiots who are running our nations and the fools who have the responsibility of governing our society, they're just totally, absolutely clueless. They can't for the life of them figure out what to do to stop all this crime that's going on. Okay? So let me tell you what will not stop that crime. What won't stop it is making excuses for it. What won't stop it is trying to find someone to blame besides the person who committed the crime. What won't stop it is giving little timeouts of 6 months or 3 years or 6 years to criminals so that they can hang out with other criminals and learn clever new ways of committing crime. I'm talking about in the prison system, little resorts for criminals. So here's what God said to do. If a man punches another man in the face and breaks his jaw, here's what you do. You stand that man up and you punch him in the face and you break his jaw. How about that? If a man shoots another man in the leg, this is what you do. You shoot that man in the leg. That's what God said. If a man breaks into somebody's property and damages their property, they pay in kind for the injury inflicted and the damage that was done. Check this out. Here's how messed up our world is. This is how messed up our world is. A man comes into my home, kicks in my door, beats me senseless, robs me, and steals my property. Well, that costs me. My homeowner's insurance rates go up. I have medical bills I'm going to have to pay, and they're extremely high. I have medical insurance. If I have medical insurance, the insurance company is going to raise my rates because I actually used what I've been paying for all those years. And then I've got to pay to replace all the stuff that this criminal stole from me. So I'm out money four different ways. Then if this man should happen to be arrested, you know what they're going to do with him? They're going to make me pay for his defense attorney, the public attorney. If he's convicted, they're going to put him in jail and make me pay for his groceries, for his prison guards, for his upkeep. How's that? How is that, looking at that, how is that punishing the criminal? I'm being robbed again. So the Bible says, you don't make the party that has been sinned against suffer anymore, and you don't give the criminal any little time out to lift weights and watch TV and eat three square meals a day. No, you make him pay in full, in kind, for everything that he's done. And that's the only just, equitable, and fair way to handle these things. And that's the word of God. All right, verse 26. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. All right, so the point here, what you ought to notice, is that it is supposed to cost you something if you commit a crime. It's supposed to cost you something to harm another individual. We've lost sight of that, I think, in these modern times. We've got this idea that it's somehow an act of decency or kindness or advanced civilization to show more kindness to the person who's done the wrong than to the person who's been wronged. Things are backwards. This is madness. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And the more that you encourage and promote misconduct, the more you accommodate and tolerate misconduct, the more misconduct you're going to have. That's how it works. And you'd think anybody could understand that. But without God, without the Bible, people just lose their minds. 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be quit. All right, he'll be free. Our court system today, or our court term today, for that word quit, is acquitted. He's paid his debt because they've killed that ox. You say, well, you don't have to kill the poor ox. He's not going to do it again. You're right. He won't do it again because he'll be dead. That's a guarantee. Look, again, it's supposed to cost you something. That's your animal. You want that animal. You want private property rights. Okay. Well, they carry with them a responsibility. You are responsible to keep your animal from trampling somebody else. And if it harms another human being, then you are to make that thing right. That's why I don't ever let anybody take care of my dog, Milo, because I think he might hurt somebody. And I'd feel terrible, and I'd have to make that right, and I don't know how I would. But he can be mean and scary sometimes. 29. But if the ox were wont, W-O-N-T, that means accustomed, to push with his horn in time past. Okay, if this animal has a history of violent behavior towards humans, that means you know about it, you've seen it before, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. That is negligent homicide. That's what we call it. Negligent homicide. It is a death that occurred because of your careless conduct or disregard for the lives of others. Yeah, he might hurt someone, but I'll take that chance. The legal system in the U.S. was once based on these great truths and principles from the Holy Bible. Sorry to say, it's not anymore. Not completely. All right, then it says in verse 30, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. All right, so, for example, a father could file a legal claim and say, rather than have this man be put to death for the negligence that resulted in my child's death, I want him to pay X number of dollars in compensation for this damage. Okay, I think Islam has a similar law, or they've borrowed it from the Bible, I'm sure. They call it blood money, and that is an option. Okay, verse 32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. All right. So look at that. This is an interesting verse, an important verse. 30 shekels of silver. That was the price of a female slave or a male slave that had been killed by an animal. And do you know what price? Do you know what value the religious leaders of the nation of Israel placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ? They gave Judas, they weighed Jesus' price, and they gave Judas Iscariot 30 pieces of silver. That's their estimation of the worth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 12, Zechariah 11:12, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." I don't know about you, but I consider Jesus Christ worth more than every piece of silver that's ever been minted since the dawn of time. Those who reject him have a different opinion. Verse 33, "And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his." Okay, you can have it. It's yours now. It fell in your pit. Now again, this is showing you there's going to be consequences for every action. That's what God's law is establishing from start to finish. If you, by your conduct, whether it's intentional or unintentional, if you, by your conduct, whether you meant to do it or not, if you cause harm or injury to another person's body or property, you must make that thing right. And God's telling you how to make it right. 35. "And if one man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own." So we covered that earlier. All right, let's go on to the next chapter. Verse 1, chapter 22, verse 1. "If a man shall steal an ox..." All right, so this is a little bit different now. This is willful crimes here. "If a man steal an ox..." And by the way, God already told them, "Thou shalt not steal." We saw that, I think it was last week. "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." So why this increase compensation? Okay, now in all the other cases we looked at, it was just you kill one, you owe one. Here, it's a great big difference, a great big increase. Why is that? First of all, it's just a suitable or an ample punishment. To make a person unwilling, if you want to make a person become unwilling to steal, you have to make the penalty for stealing greater than the advantage that a person might gain from stealing. So let's suppose you have an ox, and I see that ox, and I know that your prize winning ox, I know that your ox, man, he's as strong as an ox. And I know that your ox is the best ox in town. So I'm going to steal your ox. I travel across the country and I sell your ox to a man for $1,000. Well, you find out that I stole your ox. You take me to court. The magistrate says, you did indeed steal that man's ox. I want you to replace it. And so I go down to the farmer's market. I go down to the Friday market. I go down to the stockyard and I buy a $200 ox. And it's an ugly, skinny little thing. And I take it to you and I say, well, there you go. I stole your ox and now you got an ox. Good to go. Well, but I have not justly compensated you for your loss, have I? And so God says, we're going to make sure that whatever that ox you stole was worth, you didn't get 5 oxen worth of money for it. Whatever that sheep was worth, you didn't get 4 sheep worth of money for that one sheep. So you better think about this. Before you steal another man's livestock and sell it, you're going to have to repay that man either 500% or 400% if you get caught. Well, that would put a stop to that kind of thing. And so a willful crime carries a greater penalty than an act of carelessness or an accident that results in someone's harm or loss. Verse number 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. You see that? Let's read it slowly one more time. I don't want you to miss this. If a thief, that's a man or a woman who steals from another man or woman or a family, if a thief be found breaking up, okay, we call it breaking and entering. You break a door, you break a window, you break a lock, you break a barrier, you break a boundary line. Look, a man enters another man's home, he walks through his gate, he walks through his yard, he walks up his steps, he climbs through his window, he is in that man's house without that man's invitation, and he gets caught. The Bible says if that thief gets caught and you get out of bed and smite him, that he die. If you kill that thief, you are not to be punished. You are not to be penalized in any way. And that's exactly how it ought to be. That's not the way it is today. You could go to jail for doing that in the U.S. now. You could be sued for hurting a poor criminal that was caught in your house today. Things sure are messed up. But this is the way things ought to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. You say, well, what if there's a case of misunderstanding? What misunderstanding? There's no misunderstanding. If you want to come to the house for a visit, you knock on the door. If nobody answers the door, you go away, come back later. If you want to come to the house for a visit, you just give a call on the telephone. You say, hi, I'd like to come over for a visit. And the owner will say yes or no. If you get caught in somebody else's house and you're there without their permission, God said, the owner of the home, if he takes the life of the intruder, that homeowner is not to be punished for it. Okay, I hope you're not having a problem with this. And you know, that would certainly cut down on our crime rate if we followed this. I doubt very seriously, though, that our politicians and lawmakers are aware of God's laws. But I'll tell you what, if they would start paying attention to the Word of God, instead of listening to the reprobate morons who give them advice, well, they might pass some laws that would save their nation and help the people that they represent, instead of legislating more wickedness and folly and depravity and useless laws and ridiculous laws. So I'm showing you what the Bible says. These aren't my words, you know that. I didn't make these things up. I didn't write these things. This is the Word of God, and I like it. I think it's right. I think it would fix things. Verse 3 says, if the sun be risen upon him, still talking about that burglar, okay, if the sun be risen upon him, and by that, that's when people do their dirty work, by the way, is they do most of their crimes at nighttime, right? But if the sun be risen upon him, okay, that means that the thief has successfully burglarized your home and he's escaped with his life. But you hunt him down and you kill him afterwards. Okay? If you do that, there shall be blood shed for him. Now you've committed a crime. Okay, now you're gonna pay for your crime of murder. Alright? For he, the thief, should make full restitution. But, of course, now he can't because you killed him. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Okay, so if he's sold it, he's going to have to replace it five times or four times. If he still has yours, he can give yours back and then another one. Double it. Okay, so here's what he says. If you don't catch the guy while he's in your home stealing from you, you can't track him down and shoot him 3 days later while he's eating breakfast. You can't do that. But if you do track him down and catch him later, you don't put him in jail. You force that man to work and pay the full cost of everything that he stole. And you make him work to pay for the full cost of the repairs for whatever damage he did breaking into your home. And that's how you handle a thief. You don't put him in jail and feed him. You don't put him in jail and take care of him. You don't put him in jail and let him learn from other thieves how to do a better job of stealing the next time. You make him work. Make him pay for it. And that accomplishes three things. First of all, he pays back the man that he stole from. That's the primary mission. Number two, he learns the value of the stuff that he stole from the man who worked and bought the stuff in the first place. And number three, maybe if he learns how to work with his hands, he might stop being a thief. Maybe. Not likely, but it's possible. A lot of the problem is idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's not a Bible verse, but it's a principle. Idleness does cause people to do wicked things. People need to work. People need to work. All right, verse 5. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field. See that? The best, not the rejects, not the leftover. The best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. All right, so if your animals get out of your property and get onto my property and eat my crops and eat my grain, you are going to pay for it. There is no way that you can read God's laws and commandments for a society and think that anything about communism is correct. There's no way that you can read God's laws regarding society and think that there's anything about socialism that is correct. Everything that we've read in these specific laws of a holy God upholds the right of private property. You have the right to own private property. And it upholds the right of a man to protect and to defend his own property. And nobody else is entitled to it unless the owner of the property decides to give it to someone else. Nobody has the right to take it or to use it. And that includes the government. All right. Verse 6. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Okay? If it is your fault, you pay. All of the citizens of the community shouldn't be required to pay for that. The taxpayers don't pay. They don't steal money from all the people who work and then have the government pay for the damages. No, the man, the individual that caused the damage pays for the damage that he caused. Seems right to me. It's so simple. It's so simple. So why can't people get it? The same reason that lost people can't find the way to heaven. It's so simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead. He's got all power in heaven and on earth. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. What do? You own the fact that you're a sinner. You repent. You trust Him. Believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of eternal life. And God saves you by His grace and gives you everlasting life. It's so simple. So why do men start all these religions then? Why do men reject God? Why do they lose their souls and end up in hell? Because they don't believe God is smarter than they are. Why are civilizations and societies and nations and towns and cities in chaos? Because men think they are smarter than God. But God's word, it's so simple. God's ways, they're so plain. God's truths are so easily grasped and understood. And all the harm and the damage that men do to themselves and their fellow man because they won't believe God. How about you? You believe what we've been looking at tonight? Have you been trying to live your own way? Have you been trying to do your own thing? Do you find yourself making excuses for the wrongs that you do? Or have you been just ignoring the truth of the Holy Bible? And you wonder then, after all that, you know, why is my life so messed up? Why am I so unhappy? Why am I so depressed? Why are so many things in my life going wrong? Well, I can tell you, you're just not living by the Bible. God wants your life blessed. God wants your life to be a life of joy and contentment and happiness and peace and love. But you've got to trust Him and you've got to go His way. So I hope you will, and well, I hope you're already doing that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again. It's always a pleasure to study your word. It's always an eye-opener. And it's, as I said, Lord, it's so plain and so simple. I wish more people would read it and believe it and understand it and take it to heart and live by it. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to just read it and pass it by and forget it, but to to see the wisdom that's in these words, and to try to live by it, at least in our families and among our friends, to make sure that we make full restitution for any wrongs that we do to our brothers and sisters in Christ, or any of our neighbors, or any of the people that we have dealings with. Help us, Lord, to at least always be willing to do that which is right, that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and let people see Him shine through us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.